Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Big topics, big ideas, big sky. Montana Talks.
All right, hey, let's start with some good news here this morning. We've got, this is from the Montana Chronicles. The Montana Chronicles has this headline, Bill to let legal non-citizens drive, tabled by the Montana Senate. This is that whole topic of the driver's privilege card. I think you guys remember this because this came up, I believe. Did it come? Hey, it was either in the 8 o'clock hour or the 9 o'clock hour. But, you know, we had John Jackson, the Joker from X, in the House. We were taking phone calls, and we had a great phone call from Representative Jody Etchart out of Billings. And at the time, the bill was up for a floor vote in the Montana House of Representatives. This is House Bill 275 by a far-left Democrat out of Bozeman who was carrying this legislation. But several Republicans have voted for this bill, and Jody Etchart was calling in to say, guys, you got to get the word out. Your listeners have got to contact their lawmakers, because this driver's privilege card deal, there is a massive loophole in this that would basically allow illegal aliens to effectively get what looks like a driver's license, to get this driver's privilege card. Now, the sponsor of the bill will say, oh, no, this is just for people that are here legally but aren't citizens. But I read the bill myself, and it sure looks to me like Representative Jody Etchart was right, that there is a massive loophole in this bill that would allow just that, that would allow illegal aliens to have basically an ID card that would give the appearance of being here legally when they're not here legally. And so thankfully, though, the Montana Senate Judiciary Committee tabled House Bill 275 this week. Committee members voted 5-3 on the bill. All of the Republicans on the committee voted to table the bill, while 3 Democrats did not. I should go look at the Senate Judiciary Committee website to see who all those 5 Republicans are, so that folks can call them and or send them a message and tell them thank you for voting against House Bill 275 in committee. Frankly, right now, property tax relief is up in the air. Income tax relief is up in the air. A lot of the most important judicial reform bills are up in the air. Let's prioritize. Even if House Bill 275 was a good bill, which it doesn't seem like it is, because it's got this massive loophole to allow illegal aliens to get a driver's privilege card, right? Even though we've had illegal aliens wrong way drunk driving on the interstates in Bozeman, all sorts of other problems, driving without insurance, which they still could have purchased, by the way, anyway. And so with all the things they have to get done with the short amount of time that they have left, just start tabling all of this stuff, all of these sidebar issues. Let's get some property tax relief across the finish line. Let's get across-the-board income tax relief across the finish line. I don't care whether you're moderate, more conservative, or not. That should be something we should all agree on. Across-the-board income tax relief. It's our money. You're sitting on a surplus. Give it back.
It's April 11th, and this is your Fox Daily Snapshot. Today is National Barbershop Quartet Day.
Let's take a boat to Bermuda. Let's take a plane to St. Paul.
Fox Nation's very own Tom Shalhoub and his barbershop quartet, Scully Square. That type of music originated in barbershops in the 1800s as patrons sang songs while they were waiting to get their haircut. Also on this day, Iranian President Ahmadinejad announces in 2006 that his country has enriched uranium. In 1981, President Ronald Reagan returned to the White House from the hospital after an assassination attempt. He had been shot by John Hinckley Jr. outside the Washington Hilton Hotel a few days earlier. And President Lyndon B. Johnson signed the Civil Rights Act in 1968. I'm CJ Papa, and this is your Fox Daily Snapshot.
Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors. Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August. Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in. This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls. The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search our names, Clay and Buck. Listen and subscribe.
You got me.
The galaxy's safe once again.
Sometimes kids play with pretend guns. It's up to us to make sure they don't play with real ones. Keep yours stored locked and unloaded. Learn more at nfamilyfire.org. Brought to you by nFamily Fire, Brady, and the Ad Council.
Out here in the middle of these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. That's how it feels when you're struggling with your mental health. But you don't have to feel alone. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
Montana Talks, uniting the Treasure State, one conversation at a time. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
All right, great to have George Blacker back with us here on this Freedom Friday. And then I think we've got Don Kay, the chairman of the Montana GOP. I just glanced at my calendar. He might be joining us a little bit later in the hour as well. George, good to see you, my friend. Happy Freedom Friday.
Well, good morning. Happy Friday. And, you know, it's a beautiful day out there.
That's crisp,
clean air. I love that part, man. That is great.
Was the air not so clean down in the Houston area when you were down in Texas?
Well, let me just say it doesn't smell like this. You know, when you get down to the beach, it's nice, but then it smells like...
A little humid probably, huh?
Well, it is, yeah. Yeah, and it smells like the Gulf of America is what it smells like.
Okay.
So, you know, that's kind of an acquired thing, too. But I don't think it's this good anywhere. So just another great reason to live here. So it's beautiful.
You know, and think about that. Think about how beautiful our clean air is here in Montana. And Colstrip is still up and running. You know, and not only that, but George, I think since you last went down to Texas and then got home from Texas, we've got a new natural gas power plant now as well. Huh, still that beautiful clean air. Gee, for Pete's sake, it's amazing.
You know, we got refineries over here. We got all these things. Oh, yeah, and it's still clean air.
All the things the liberals hate, and yet still clean air.
You know, the thing that gets me about the coal-fired power plants is when in the media, they'll take a picture of it, and, you know, there'll be steam coming out of there and blue skies, and it's beautiful. So they take the picture, switch it to black and white, adjust the color, and then they make you think that this is just clouds of pollutants that are coming out of this thing when really it's steam and it's a beautiful blue day.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of like those old westerns when they film a scene at night, but you can see the shadows on the ground because it's the middle of the day, you know? And it's like that. It's sleight of hand. It's a trick. Because they can't ever take that picture of black smoke rolling out of there because it doesn't happen.
You know, it's funny. 10 months ago, we did an event down in Colstrip, went down. Senator Steve Daines had a listening session with locals. The governor was there as well. And I took a photograph. Look at that photo there, George. See that? Nothing.
Not a thing.
Nothing. Beautiful blue sky. Nothing coming out of those stacks at the coal-fired power plant there. Because it was a nice sunny day, so the steam wasn't visible. So
right.
There was nothing coming out of it. And then the golf course, beautiful golf course there. And,
oh, yeah.
So I did a story for our Montana Talks website. Look at the beautiful clean sky above Colstrip, Montana. And then, of course, the moment that you share that on social media, you see that, the hissing and the moaning from the environmental wackos.
Teeth and,
yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, on this Freedom Friday, man, we got to talk. About because you and I, man, we were here all through the COVID BS and the harm that was caused to our military during, you know, because of COVID-19 and all the woke BS and drag queen story hours being pushed on kids on military bases and more. Well, it started after November 5th of 2024, and then it surged even higher after Pete Hegseth was sworn in as Secretary of Defense. They're calling it a Trump bump in recruitment.
Yes.
There you go. Here's Pete Hegseth, Secretary of Defense.
Yeah, I mean, it's the Trump bump. It's the commander-in-chief, first and foremost. He's got the backs of our warfighters, and they know it. And so the young men and women of America are prepared to stand up. Look at those numbers. They're historic over multiple decades. And I get to see them out, you know, whether it's Panama City, whether it's in Guam or Japan or the Philippines or on bases here in the U.S. or out in Germany and Poland. You look into the eyes of these young Americans who are giving up the best years of their life in a uniform to serve their nation. They are incredible. And those best moments are in the morning.
You know, it's crazy. So he's been doing, it's been really cool. He goes and does workouts with troops almost everywhere he goes now because he's fit. He's fit to fight, yeah. You know, and he's, you know, mid-40s. I think he's about the same age I am, right? But what I love about Secretary of Defense Pete Hegseth is he loves this job and he loves these warriors, and you can see it. You've got your Navy veteran hat on right now. He put on one of those brown Navy hats. He visited the USS Chosin, mm-hmm. the Chosin Reservoir. People know that.
That's a gator freighter.
And so he gets on. He's on there, and he picks up the headset to talk to the sailors on board the, would you call it a boat or a ship? Boat.
Ship.
Okay.
Boats go underwater.
That's right. There we go. Okay. So he's on there, and he's just smiling. He just loves to, you know, get out there and talk to the troops.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He does. And, you know, he's such a personable person. I've talked to him for about 45 minutes probably here in Billings at that event we went to that time. I was standing in the back of the room, and he comes walking back there and stands there, and we started chatting. And he's quite a person, and I really enjoyed visiting with him. I could tell a lot of things about him, his confidence and his drive and his passion. And I like the guy. I really do. And, you know, you don't get a chance very often to talk to these people, you know, that are serving in those types of positions. And this was before he, I'm sure, ever even thought about doing that. So I like him a lot. And the fact that he gets out there with the troops and mixes it up and does workouts with them and stuff is, you know, it's just a testament to his personality.
Yeah, yeah, and you know, I can only imagine what he's actually learning, because you might be standing next to a guy just before you're about to go do some push-ups or some you know, squats or whatever, and you just having small-time conversation could lead to a big change in policy.
Yes, well, you know, that brings up another point that's really important. So you have this commander-in-chief now who's assertive, who knows what he wants to do, he's decisive. And all the people under him are a reflection of that. When you have a leader that's bumbling in the office and he doesn't know where he's going, none of his people know where they're going either.
Yeah, lead from the front or stumble from the front, I guess. Yeah, or whatever it was that they were doing for the last 4 years. All right, stand by. Freedom Friday, George Blackwood.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
The rule of law has a nice sound to it. Who doesn't want to be governed by laws? Except that it punts on the definition of law and the system through which it's applied. Economists care about economic outcomes, and the way a legal system actually works today exacts a significant cost on all of us. Companies produce products and services which expose them to risk when bad things happen. That makes sense. Those same companies shouldn't be selling dangerous things. At least that's the theory. But the legal system can make it enormously expensive to defend yourself in court. Smart lawyers can shop around the country to find plaintiff-friendly places to file lawsuits. And the blank check of punitive damages sharpens the tip of the spear aimed at the heart of a company that finds itself in court. Avoidance of those kinds of risks is what hurts the economy. Innovative products may never come to market. Companies who pay to settle or litigate claims have less resources to invest. And the cost of the services they provide will be much higher. I'm Patrick Parkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.
Donald Trump's America.
Several coal miners joined President Trump in an executive order signing this week aimed at supercharging the production of what President Trump calls beautiful, clean coal.
Now we're going to put the miners back to work, and I said I was going to do this, and I've said it loud and clear, and it's time to do it. Now we need it.
President Trump says coal-fired power plants are needed as part of an all-of-the-above energy strategy to boost capacity.
For years, people would just bemoan this industry and decimate the industry for absolutely no reason.
A series of executive orders delay some emission requirements for coal-fired power plants, prevents the closure of other plants, and lifts bans on coal mining on leased federal land. At the White House, Jeff Halpern, Fox News.
You've already filed your income taxes. Now, when can you expect a refund? I'm Taylor Riggs, co-host of The Big Money Show, with your Fox Business Tax Tip coming up.
It's The Will Cain Show. Watch it live at noon Eastern, Monday through Thursday on FoxNews.com or on the Fox News YouTube channel. And don't miss a show. Get the podcast 5 days a week at FoxNewsPodcasts.com or wherever you download your favorite podcasts.
It typically takes just a few weeks to receive any money owed back to you by the government when filing, according to CPA Bill Dendy.
Provided you electronically filed your taxes and you provided the IRS with bank information so they can automatically put money into your account, refunds can happen as quickly as 2 weeks. However, you want to make sure you correctly file the return.
Those with more complex returns or who file later in the file period when high volumes of filings take place, you may have to wait a little bit longer. Watch The Big Money Show weekdays at 12 p.m. Eastern on Fox Business. Taylor Riggs, Fox News.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, you know what? Let's talk more about this. George has got us on track. You know, this is about more than just, hey, the difference between Donald Trump and Joe Biden. Talking about, you know, George, you and I were talking during the break because, you know, you served in the Navy, I served in the Army, and, you know, you'd be in a commander's update brief, a CUB or a BUB, the battle update brief or whatever, and, you know, and there's the commander, you know, kind of front and center or at the back of the room and center getting this update from his key staff, right, intel, ops, everything, supply, you know, and watching President Trump do these cabinet meetings live on TV or listening to it live on the radio. I know, you know, the national programs went to it. I think Hannity carried part of it live yesterday. It, to me, it's just like sitting in these commander's update briefs. It's like being in on the CUB with the commander in chief.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, the thing about that is, so if the commander knows what the mission is and knows what the vision is and knows what it takes to get there, then everybody under him that's going to execute this plan or this mission, they also know what it is and how to get there. And so there's a confidence that comes with that. And there's a confidence in knowing that your commander in chief or your boss, I mean, you can equate this to the civilian world as well.
Oh, easily. Yeah. Yeah.
If you know your boss has your back, then you have the confidence to go out and do this. If it's clearly defined, you know what you need to do. And it goes beyond that. If you have a boss that has your back, even when you make a mistake, and you know that they are going to back you, even if you make a mistake, then you're going to be more effective in what you do.
And likewise, this was another point you brought up during the break. In a similar front, if you know what the boss's goals are, what the boss's visions are, then you know what you need to do. But if you don't know,
like if the boss, like, doesn't know,
if you're like, okay, I don't know what this guy wants to do or doesn't want to do, I don't know where the heck we're going, so I'm not going to make any decisions. I'm just going to sit here and wait for guidance because, man, I don't know what the heck he wants to do. And
right.
And so, yeah, and it reminded me, there was this great book written by a Navy submarine commander who took the worst rated submarine in the fleet, I guess you'd say, right, for the Navy.
Right.
This one had the lowest metrics, the lowest scores for, you know, in the Army, we'd call it gunnery or whatever. Whatever their metrics are to say, this is how good this crew is, this is how good this submarine is. He took the worst one in the Navy and turned it around and made it, like, the best or one of the best. And the book was called Turn This Ship Around. And it's this whole concept, which is like, you need to empower those people to be able to say, not, hey, sir, can we do this or can we do that? But say, hey, sir, here's what I intend to do. I intend to do this. I intend to do that. And then the boss can say, well, hey, I like that. Great. Yeah, move forward. Or, hey, you know, option number two, can you tweak that a little bit and go in this direction instead?
Right.
Because it empowers those people to get things done and to make things happen instead of sit there and wait and wonder.
Right. Absolutely. And you, there's so many nuances to everything you just said. You know, one of them is, hey, can you tweak that? Can you change that a little bit? Or this is the result I need. And then leave it up to them to come up with the solution and to do it rather than tell them what to do. And you know what, Aaron? one of my biggest flaws is I suck at delegation. I'm horrible at it.
You are a hard worker. I'm assuming that's your day job, but I know from a community service standpoint, man, you need a break every now and then, George. Somebody used to tell you, George, take a freaking day off, man.
You know,
because you're such a good guy.
And well, thanks, but I'm terrible at delegation, and that is one of the things that makes your team better is when you delegate and you let them take care of things. And there's a lot of nuances in there. And, you know, I'm more like, just get out of the way, I'll do it, because I can have it done in like 30 seconds.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly. Yeah,
and
yeah.
It's terrible. And I didn't used to be that way. But, you know, I had a boss one time after he pulled me to the side one day and he goes, George, he goes, I really like you, but you are horrible at delegation. And I said, yeah, I am. But he's the same guy. He would come in and he'd say, I need you to fire that person. And I'd like, okay. And a week later, he'd come in and look and see that person. And he goes, Did I tell you to fire that guy? And I'm like, him? Well, fire that guy. And one day he comes in, he goes, if you don't fire him, I'm firing you. And I said, all right, I'll talk to him right now. But, you know, he was kind of a...
That's funny.
He was kind of a loose cannon, you know? And so
yeah.
He didn't always want you to fire that person. So
you didn't know if he actually meant it or
right.
not.
Right. Yeah, so yeah, I would kind of play that, you know?
See, my response would have been like, well, you told me to fire him, but you didn't tell me
when to fire him. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
That's like, you know, another boss technique is if the boss comes in and says, dang it, George, I need you, you know, George, don't you know, blah, blah, blah. You just say, well, Roger, because if you said, sir, yes, sir, will do, well, then now you got to do it. But if you just say Roger, you just, yeah, I understood what you said.
Right.
Didn't mean I'm going to go do it. But
exactly. Well, and you know, I always
not
thought.
Not the best technique, by the way.
I always thought, and this is to my detriment probably, I always thought I could turn it around. I'd be like, I'd work with them and I'd be like, hey, here's, we need to do this. We need to do this. I would try and make them better. So he wouldn't want to fire him. So it's terrible.
And eventually you just had to cut the bait.
And so. I would have saved myself a lot of pain and grief if I'd have just fired him and did what he said. But I was always like, you know what? I can turn this around. He can be better. I know he can.
Yeah, speaking of the cabinet meeting and kind of like sitting in on a commander's update brief, this is Secretary of State Marco Rubio, part of what he had to say in that cabinet meeting yesterday.
Well, Mr. President, one of the most important things I believe you'll achieve in your presidency is reordering the world in a proper way. For 31 years, more than 31 years now, multiple administrations have allowed the Chinese to deindustrialize this country, to take away jobs and factories and pillars of our national strength. And what you're doing now, I think, is a great service to our country, but ultimately to the world. And I want to congratulate you and your team that's working on that, because it has extraordinary geopolitical implications, as you see, from all these other countries that are now coming here and wanting to join something that actually makes it's crazy to allow these. I mean, basically, we lived in a world where Chinese companies can do whatever they want in America. But our companies cannot do anything over there unless they allow it. And even then, they steal our stuff and reverse engineer it. So just reordering all of that has dramatic implications on peace and security of the world. So we thank you.
Yeah, what fascinating insight there from Secretary of State Marco Rubio. Speaking of the cabinet meeting, Mike in Bozeman weighing in. Mike, thanks for the phone call. What's your thoughts?
One of the things that really caught my attention was that was the first time I had ever seen live on TV a cabinet meeting of anybody's. And the contrast between the adults in the room with what were kind of creatures was in the room with the Biden bunch is like night and day. And it was not only refreshing to me to watch that, but it was stimulating and helped make me feel like we really are going to turn the corner with this country like it needs to be turned, with the caliber and quality of people that are sitting around that table. And damn, it was good to watch.
Great point. Yeah, and he's done this a few times already. But, yeah, if you've never seen it, it really is fun to watch. This really is the most transparent administration in history. George, in a similar front, I always get a kick out of when Trump is signing these executive orders. I just laugh every time because he'll sign it and you can hear the marker. And then the guy comes up, well, sir, this is the executive order to, blah, blah, blah. And he's like, nodding his head. And then he signs it and then he shows it to everybody.
Yeah.
But literally, it's like the cameras are just in there just rolling. And he's just, doing the day-to-day business of the president and signing things, talking about things, answering questions. Who else has ever done that in American history? I'm sure there's, somewhat similar example.
Well, I think in the past, if there was something really huge that they signed, then they would show that. But it was like the one thing, and he does this with all of them because it's a big deal. All of them are a big thing. Anytime the president signs an executive order like that, that's a big deal. So, yeah, it's fun to watch. Yeah.
I don't know if this was live on Hannity's radio show yesterday or where I caught this at, but I watched this and I was dying laughing. I was dying laughing at this one. So, George, the Chinese are fighting back, right? And they said, we are going to, well, let me play the audio for you and then we can have some fun with it. Here you go. The reporter's question and then Trump's answer.
China retaliated today by reducing the number of American films that can be shown there. What's your reaction to them now targeting cultural exports from the United States?
I think I've heard of worse things.
Oh, no. Don't punish Hollywood. Don't show our crappy movies.
Well, here's the crazy thing. They already don't show any movies that paints America in a good light, that
or
shows
anything
that,
yeah.
Right, that shows people there what life outside of China is like. They censor so much already that who cares about this,
and Hollywood doesn't care about us, so why should we care about Hollywood getting to show their stupid movies in China? Right. I mean, the only reason I could think you would want to show the movies in China that are shown in America is because these Hollywood films oftentimes cause harm to American, but we don't want to harm kids in China. We want to help kids in China.
Absolutely.
Which is why we support Christian missionaries and things like that, anyway.
Right.
But yeah.
Yeah.
Don't punish Hollywood.
Exactly. Well, it's interesting. So I'm just going to throw this in there real quick. So it's come out now. It's come to light. And the documents have come out from the Biden administration and that it was found that COVID was present in China at least 2 months before they announced it to everybody. Well, and this is the interesting thing. There were like 250 American soldiers there that were there for the Warrior Games or a deal like that.
Yeah.
Seven of them had COVID and came back with it. And that's the first Americans that they know that had COVID.
The first Montanan, I saw this in a Bozeman Daily Chronicle story. I knew it was somebody that worked for our university system that was the first COVID case in Montana. But recently it was reported that university, whoever, was in China too.
Yeah.
So there you go.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, George Blackard in the house here. Freedom Friday. That's my microphone sounds a little weird in my ear right now. I don't know if they're tinkering around. Well, they must be tinkering around with stuff. That's all right. We'll let them tinker with stuff. I'll keep yapping here in the meantime. George, what you got a Freedom Friday special for us here?
I do. So this caught my eye. This is a story by Scott Stinson. Can't believe I even said his name, is so ridiculous. But so his story was at The Score, and it's a sports website or a sports app, both. And the headline, the title of the story is, "Do We Really Need National Anthems Before Games Anymore?" One thing I notice about this, he is so delusional. He doesn't just say our national anthem. He says all national anthems. Do we need national anthems before sporting events anymore? Which just shows you how out of touch this clown really is. But he talks about how the national anthem playing at sports came to be. But then he goes through and he says, you know, we really don't need that anymore. I mean, it just offends some people and it's unnecessary. And but at the same time, he talks about, you know, around the 40s and things where they would have bands at baseball games, and the band would play like during the seventh inning stretch, right? And they would play the national anthem then, and how everybody would get on their feet and everybody would cheer and clap. And so while he's trying to make a case that we shouldn't have it, he's making the case that this is a great thing that we do have this. So you can kind of tell this guy's a hack to begin with. But I just thought the audacity of him, not only to just say we shouldn't play our national anthem, but that nobody should play their national anthem. I just thought it was a little ridiculous. And when you start reading it and you see the things that he says, I don't know how any reasonable thinking person could go along with this line of thinking.
Yeah, and this is what they will do oftentimes. They will pose it as a question. They will make it sound like it's a question. Oh, well, what if we just did away with the national? These are the people that have been cheerleading the people taking a knee, disrespecting our flag, disrespecting our anthem, disrespecting the people who sacrificed for that very flag. And now they're just saying, well, what if we just did away with this?
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, you know, like at the PBR, the pro bull riding, it starts in Billings tonight. We got Flint Rasmussen dropping by the studios next hour. The national anthem at those events is one of the most powerful things of the entire event. Despite the remarkable stock and the remarkable athletes that are there, that national anthem, and I tell you what, you won't find a more patriotic crowd than a rodeo.
Than a rodeo, no doubt. Well, here's something that he says, which just tells you that this guy hasn't been to a game in a long time, obviously. He says anytime the anthem controversy pops up, he's the only one that I know of that thinks we shouldn't do this. The loudest voices tend to be those who insist that the ritual is about respecting the military and honoring the troops who are willing to sacrifice themselves for our freedom. He goes on to say, and of course, those people should be honored. He goes, but that's not what's happening. He said at the vast majority of these things, he says the audience produces some muffled droning and quiet applause, and then everyone gets back to sipping their $17 beers. This clown has not been to a game of any kind.
Yeah.
What's he going to, a little league soccer game?
Because, and where's he at? What town is he in? Because, man, I tell you, heck, you can even be back on the East Coast. In most sporting events, it's always filled with great Patriots, and they love the anthem.
Exactly. I've been to a stadium with 80,000 people when the PA system goes out and the whole crowd finishes singing the national anthem. This guy has no idea what he's talking about, but there will be people that will read this nonsense and believe it.
How many athletes, black, white, Hispanic, have tears streaming down their face when that national anthem is played?
Exactly.
At some of these sporting events. Yeah, I think this is par for the course. What we see from the left is, remember, they don't like America. They despise America. They want to transform America into something else. And so, but they know that what builds patriotism amongst people and maintains it, it's 4th of July parades, it's fireworks, it's national anthems at sporting events. And so, I mean, these are the same people that canceled 4th of July parades in the name of COVID-19, but still allowed their BLM rioters and protesters to take to the streets. So that tells you everything you need to know.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I've got a friend that tells me every time they play the national anthem, I start to cry, I get goosebumps. You know, it's something that's really powerful and moving to them. And I'm a lot the same way. You know, I get goosebumps when they play it. And I just think that people like this that are trying to tear our country down bit by bit, and see, it's take away the anthem at games. That's one little bit. And you just keep chipping away at it and chipping away at it. And, you know, I just, it infuriates me that people will listen to this nonsense and believe it.
Yeah, I was the MC for the Billings Christian School banquet the other night, where we had the former SOCOM chaplain, top Army chaplain, retired general as the speaker, and they had to do the national anthem. They had all their school kids, the school choir, come up and sing. Oh my goodness! You know, I was like, okay, I don't know how I get on the microphone after this one. But
I'm so mad I missed that, Aaron. I was on my way down there to that. I'm embarrassed to admit this. Somehow I locked my keys in the trunk of my car.
You should have just Ubered down or something.
Well, I had to worry about getting them out because I had to go to work the next day.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I almost took an Uber, but I was like, if I do that, then it's going to be late when I get back. How am I going to get to work in the morning?
Yeah.
So I sacrificed.
That's all right.
Said,
that's all right. We had a good time. We had a good time. Let's go into the calls. We got Goose in Anaconda. Talk to me, Goose. What's going on?
Yeah, I got a few things to talk about. One, Democrats should be, it should be illegal for them to own an American flag because, like you said, they straight up hate America. The Colorado bill was just insane. It's just passed the House. It's got to go through the Senate, making it to where a parent that does not. Sorry, I got my darn radio coming on.
turn it down. No worries.
Yeah, so a parent can lose his child if he does not agree with his little boy thinking he's a girl, because now the Colorado Congress is saying that it's neglect and abuse, not allowing the children to choose their own identity, gender identity. It's just sick. It's crazy. California, Oregon, Washington already have them bills. Most people don't believe it. I was telling a bunch of people the other day, and they said, that's crazy. That's not happening. I proved them wrong. And then they simply say, well, that's not happening here, so what do we care? And we're surrounded by it, and it is actually happening here.
Yep.
A little more and a little more each day. Secondly, I'm really starting to come to the conclusion this whole government, Republican, Democrat, are the same. It's a good, bad game, a good cop, bad cop. Until there's some actual arrests, it's just a failed administration. I mean, we know what Fauci did with gain of function, killing millions of people. We've known what Hillary's done with our uranium and Benghazi. We knew what Obama did with the trillions, billions of dollars he sent to Iraq. We know what the Bidens did, cashing in on Ukraine with Burisma, with our own tax dollars, but yet still no arrest.
Yeah, where's the accountability? Where's the accountability, right, Goose? Yeah, no, great question there. Great point there from Goose. I know, who is it with Judicial Watch? I'm spacing his name all of a sudden, but he's been kind of raising that question. Hey, when are we going to start holding some of these criminal actors accountable for what they did, these people that were in positions of power in our own government?
Well, don't forget Obama running guns to Mexico. Also, Nancy Pelosi insider trading. It's interesting to see that now the Democrats are accusing the Republicans of insider trading with the tariffs and the pause on the tariffs and all that. You know, it's so old when they just sit up there and accuse each other of stuff and nothing ever happens to them. You know, but when you have Nancy Pelosi just say, so what? I mean, she was caught red-handed. She doesn't care, and they don't care. They're not going to prosecute her.
And that story out of Colorado is crazy. Yeah, their legislature, in addition to what Goose and Anaconda talked about, they want to basically say, okay, hey, they want to mandate pronoun use.
Yeah.
They want to compel you, and compelled speech is a violation of the First Amendment. But what they will say is, okay, George, if you don't call that guy a girl, if you don't call that woman a man, he, she, whatever, they, them, garbage, they will prosecute you. They will hold you accountable for that. And that's insane. It's a violation of the First Amendment. They can't even force public school teachers to play the pronoun game, let alone any George on the street.
Right. Well, that's not going to go anywhere with me. But, you know, they're doing this in Europe. They've been doing it over there. Now in Europe, if you type something on Facebook that offends somebody, they can arrest you for it. So it's ridiculous.
That it is. Okay, we got another caller on the phone lines. Robert in Belgrade, stand by. We'll get to you right after this quick break right here on Montana Talks, the show where you get to talk on this Freedom Friday. And then the Flint Rasmussen, popping into the studios in the 9 o'clock hour.
Now, here's the Morning Sean Hannity Update. Right now, the president is in the process of undoing what is 50 or 60 years worth of Americans being ripped off. Even our friends in Europe, our friends in Canada, our friends in Taiwan, our friends in South Korea, Japan, have all taken advantage of us, and they've been allowed to do so because that is the institutionalist mindset, and nobody wants to dare rock the boat. And what the great fallacy in all of this is, every single one of these countries, if they don't want their economies to tank, if they want access to our markets and your money, they have to make a deal with President Trump. People can understand free and fair trade, your choice, or reciprocal tariffs, your choice to other countries. That's a pretty simple concept.
Join Sean later today, right here on the Sean Hannity Show.
Are you taking steps to help protect your money from the potential impact of world war? Russia and Ukraine, Israel, Gaza. We've seen threats from Iran, and now Syria has been taken over by extremists, putting the entire region at risk. The question is, how much more international conflict can we handle? And what impacts will these conflicts have on the global economy and your retirement savings? Right now, thousands of hardworking Americans are turning to precious metals like gold and silver to help them protect their hard-earned savings. You may not be able to control these global conflicts around the world, but you can control how you diversify your money. And that's where gold and silver could help. Right now, you can get a free gold and silver kit from the top-rated precious metals company, Goldco. On top of that, you could get up to a 10% instant match in bonus silver for qualified accounts, but only while supplies last. So don't wait. Visit HannityGold.com or call 855-815-GOLD to get your free copy today and find out if you qualify for up to a 10% instant match in bonus silver. That's 855-815-GOLD.
Fox Country.
I'm Michelle Polino. Luke Bryan announced his fall farm tour dates. The country star is returning to the Midwest, where the tour first began. Bryan revealed the schedule for shows September 18th through the 20th in Wisconsin, Illinois, and Michigan. The farm tour brings big country concerts to small town communities that might not otherwise host major music events. These new dates follow the spring leg of the farm tour happening next month. Bryan expanded the typically fall only tour this year and added his first ever California dates.
Ooh.
Cole Swindell is set to hit the road this fall for his headlining Happy Hour Sad Tour. The name based on his upcoming project, out June 27th. The tour will launch on September 4th in Toledo, Ohio, and continue through October 26th with stops across Georgia, Washington, Florida, and more. Swindell will be joined by special guests Priscilla Block, Logan Crosby, and Graylin James. That's Fox Country on Fox News.
Fox in the Fast Lane.
William Byron may have been the day's most dominant driver, but it was Denny Hamlin who took home the victory.
Denny Hamlin comes off turn number four and doubles up. Hamlin wins the Goodyear 400.
That was courtesy of FS1 as Hamlin won the Goodyear 400 at Darlington Raceway. Hamlin grabbed the lead out of the pits during the final caution and held off Byron for his 56th career Cup Series victory, breaking a tie with Rusty Wallace for 11th place on the all-time wins list. It was Hamlin's second consecutive victory after winning at Martinsville Speedway the prior weekend. Byron, Christopher Bell, Tyler Reddick, and Ryan Blaney rounded out the top five. The Cup Series now has the Bristol Motor Speedway for the Food City 500. Hamlin will be looking to become the second Joe Gibbs Racing driver to win three straight this season, joining Christopher Bell. Hamlin won last year at the track, and race time is scheduled for 3 p.m. Eastern on Sunday. For Fox in the Fast Lane, I'm Joe Morgan, Fox News.
Serving the great state of Montana, from the peaks of the Beartooths to the banks of the Clark Fork River, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, let's jump right into the phone lines here. Robert in Belgrade, Hollywood. What's going on, Robert?
Well, in this day and age with AI, I don't think there's any reason to even have Hollywood anymore. All we need to worry about is who's making the movies, the writers, and what movies they show. With AI, we don't need Hollywood.
Just have AI create the characters and put the whole script into motion, huh? All right.
Yeah, just need the writers and the writers that make the, you know, that write the movies and which ones they want to show.
Or just turn it all over to make Taylor Sheridan be the Hollywood czar, something like that. Oh, man. Yeah, Robert, great to hear from you. George, your thoughts?
Well, you know, so we don't even need the writers. AI will write the whole thing for us. But maybe we could get AI to make some movies that we've never seen before instead of them remaking all the old movies because they have no fresh ideas. So, I don't know. It's been a while since Hollywood came up with something new.
Well, or Disney in particular. I mean, put out the new Snow White, the woke Snow White, and it just bombs at the box office. I mean, it's just crazy. Next up on the phone lines, by the way, George, what did you think of that photo from the Mint Bar in Big Sandy?
Hey, that's a cool picture.
Isn't that a great photo? Yeah, that was last August, I think it was, and yeah, we were at the Mint Bar, and Big Sandy had a great event there. And Norma Ashby Smith and Dwight Smith were there with us, and they're now on the phone lines. Great to hear from you two.
Hey, Aaron. Here we are.
Hi, Aaron.
Great to hear from you. What's going on?
Well, we had our Foothills Christian School banquet, annual banquet, also on Tuesday night. Our guest speaker was David A.R. White of God's Not Dead, and he got the Pure Flick started. Have you heard of him before?
I've heard of the movie, but I haven't heard of him in particular. What was something he said that stood out to you?
He was the pastor. He said, folks, don't let the past overtake you. You've got a great future ahead with Jesus Christ. And our little, we had over 600 people there in the Heritage Inn, and also we had the Sheriff's Department bring in the flag. The national anthem was sang by the little grade school choir. There wasn't a dry eye in the house. We all stood up, and it was Americana. I've never seen so many patriots. We had Chris Warden there at our table, and we all had tears in our eyes, and it was a great message. And we had a family stand up and get on the stage and tell about how their kids, four boys, had gone through Foothills and how it changed their lives completely.
Not a dry eye in the house. That's incredible. Norma, did you want to add anything as well?
Well, it was everything that Dwight said. And the movie one, he's been to about 25 of those banquets, and he said this was one of the top three that he's attended with J.R. White. We're both fans of J.R. White. And David White, and he is a very personable person. He takes time to talk to people. He looks at you, unlike some of these big stars that come along. And we just loved having him there.
That's incredible. Well, thanks so much for the phone call. We're just about out of time here with George Blackard, Freedom Friday. George, that line, don't let your past overtake you. That's one of the things I loved about Army basic training. You're going to make a mistake. So just say, yep, screwed up, Roger. And then drive on. Yeah. I mean, that's what they teach you in basic training. But yet, in day-to-day life, how many people can't overcome their past mistakes?
Right. That's true. And, you know, the other thing I would add to that is when you make a mistake, own it. Say, yeah, that was me. You know, I've sat in staff meetings before when somebody says, well, what about this? Oh, well, them. And they start pointing fingers. And they get to me, and I'm like, yeah, I did that. That was me. I screwed it up, but I'll fix it.
There you go. Yeah. Move on. Drive on. Exactly. And people respect you more for it at the end of the day. Yeah.
Exactly. Well, thanks, Aaron.
Hey, thank you, George. Great to see you, as always.
You bet.
I'm going to high-five Flint Rasmussen on her way out the door.
There you go. Have a great weekend.
All right, you too. Yeah, it's always good to see George. Even if you didn't like the guy, you're like, well, it's Friday, so we'll be thankful for that.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
The rule of law has a nice sound to it. Who doesn't want to be governed by laws? Except that it punts on the definition of law and the system through which it's applied. Economists care about economic outcomes, and the way a legal system actually works today exacts a significant cost on all of us. Companies produce products and services which expose them to risk when bad things happen. That makes sense. Those same companies shouldn't be selling dangerous things. At least that's the theory. But the legal system can make it enormously expensive to defend yourself in court. Smart lawyers can shop around the country to find plaintiff-friendly places to file lawsuits. And the blank check of punitive damages sharpens the tip of the spear aimed at the heart of a company that finds itself in court. Avoidance of those kinds of risks is what hurts the economy. Innovative products may never come to market. Companies who pay to settle or litigate claims have less resources to invest. And the cost of the services they provide will be much higher. I'm Patrick Parkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.